So what is it that made you decide to go to South Carolina and to stay here for as long as you have?
Well, most of my family is actually based in South Carolina. We actually originally came from the mountains of North Carolina. And through a series of circumstances, we ended up moving to Upper State South Carolina. And when I was applying for colleges, I, of course, applied here, and I applied to our rivals. And they honestly here came back with a better offer, and I'd be an idiot not to, like, take it. And plus, like, I loved the campus when I came to it. The people were far more, like, diverse and interesting, especially the ones that I got to sit down and actually talk to. I just liked it in general, and the reason why I've, like, stayed around here is mostly because of the people. I mean, it's a beautiful place, don't get me wrong, I love it to death, but the people that you get to meet around here are so interesting and diverse, and it's just, like, this neat little, like, universe around here, and that's honestly one of the biggest reasons that I first came here and why I stayed here.
Okay, so I have to ask, what made you first decide to take your boombox and kind of walk around campus and start this whole tradition?
Well, I'll be really honest. I'm not a creator, but I am an innovator. I didn't create the idea of the boombox guy. Originally, in the spring of 2004, yes, it's been 10 years since I've been doing this, it was me and my friend Elliot. And Elliot, he was working for this one guy as a bricklayer, and he had this old beat-up boombox, and the bricklayer ended up just giving it to him. And he thought it would be really funny if we sat down and figured out how we can, like, carry this on our shoulders and play music. And originally what he was thinking was going to a bunch of different antique shops and flea markets to find cassette tapes to play, but he was really bummed that he couldn't figure out how to record his own mixes. Well, my brother, being a DJ, had taught me a lot of different things about how to mix audio and record and all that kind of such. So I said, well, let me sit down with it for a couple of minutes. And I sat down and I recorded, like, the first cassette tape that we used for that. And so we started carrying it around campus. And usually the first semester, it was both of us. We would, like, alternate who was carrying the boombox all the way through it, either that same day, or I would carry it one day, he would carry it another day. So it was actually two of us at first. And that's really how it all began.
So how do you determine what music you're going to play? Is it just kind of whatever you're in the mood for that day, or is there a strategy to it?
It really, most of the time, it's whatever I'm in the mood for. And, I mean, if I'm in, like, you know, a happy mood, and which I usually am, I'm a very, just jovial person, but it's just, you know, I like to play things that are usually upbeat, and, you know, sometimes I'll play some, like, weird and kind of obscure things, and people ask me, it's like, well, that sounded really cool, what is that? And other times, of course, I'm going to play crowd favorites because you kind of have to play to the audience and, you know, make people happy and that kind of such. But there's also been other days, especially when we had to create cassettes, which I don't do that anymore. That took a very long time to do. But when we did create cassettes, we would think of, like, theme days. And I would go out and make the costumes and stuff like that for it. And I would, like, dress up, carry the boombox for that. But, you know, holidays, for instance, Valentine's Day, I play, like, different love songs and that kind of such, and Halloween, of course. Everyone always talks to me about Halloween because they're like, oh yeah, I remember, like, seeing you play the Ghostbusters theme, and it was so awesome. Like, yeah, that's fun. And also, you know, Christmas, I play, like, holiday music and that kind of such. So it's kind of a combination of, like, what I'm in the mood for, or if that day has some sort of, like, significance to it.
Okay, and as you said earlier, you've been here since about 2004. And you're getting your PhD in computer science.
Yes.
So what exactly is it that you want to do with that?
It's interesting because if you would have asked me this question a couple of years ago, I probably would have had a wildly different answer. Originally in computer science, what I wanted to do was video game design. And then, if you don't mind, I'll go through the story of, like, the PhD and that such. Well, when I got my bachelor's degree, that was back in 2007. And unfortunately, the economy tanked at that time. And it was the first year that they had offered game design here at USC. And me and one of my friends decided to, okay, we're going to make this game. And we decided to do kind of a dumb strategy where we lumped together our major senior project with our game design course. So we had one project that counted for two grades. So if we bombed it, we bombed two courses at once. So we were on a tight schedule, but we ended up making a really cool game. And at that time, the professor who was teaching that class, and now he's my boss, he basically approached me and said, well, here's a bag of money. Would you like to go for your master's? And I, at that time, I didn't really have a job lined up. I'd already taken my GRE. I was ready to go to grad school. I said, sure, let's do this. So I went in for my master's, and I kind of went into like a different subject. I originally did a robotic pathfinding algorithm. I was funded under the Navy under an ONR grant. And yeah, I basically did a lot of like weird military stuff. But after I was done with that, this was like around 2009 or so, and the economy still wasn't, it was better, but it wasn't great still. And I was sitting there with the master's, and I'm like, well, I could just continue on with my PhD and actually go for what I originally intended to do, which was game design. And also during that time, I realized that I could go in and work for the industry. I could be a programmer and that such. But honestly, I really just love the teaching aspect of it. I love the academics of it. And so that's why I started like drawing more toward that. So what I actually do is serious video game design in the field of language acquisition. So, you know, learning a new language, second language acquisition, helping people who have had strokes to relearn how to speak again, first language reacquisition or rehabilitation, and also like formal language acquisition, which is learning programming languages through the use of video games.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. So how do you then balance all of that work, which clearly must be very time-consuming, with keeping up with this whole personality that you've developed while you've been here with the Boombox?
It may be hard for some people to understand, but the easiest way I can describe it is I completely gave up sleep years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't sleep at all. Nah, I'm just kidding. I love sleeping. It's awesome. It's really just figuring out how to separate the two. And honestly, when I go out to different places, and one thing I love to do is like host parties and events at like different locations, bars, et cetera, or even at my house, I end up like hosting crazy parties. A lot of people who are my friends don't actually know what I do because I kind of just keep the two lives separate in a way. And it's not because like one's going to interfere with the other one. It's just easier to keep it in my head if I separate the two out. So, and also like, I don't want to be boastful or anything like that. Like, even if whenever I do get my PhD, I'm probably going to be weird about being called like Dr. Boombox Guy. I don't. Well, it does have kind of a cool ring, but beyond that, I don't know. But it's just I keep them separated and kind of compartmentalized. And also, I have tons and tons and tons of notes, lists, and my calendar is insane if you take a look at it. But that's basically how I do it.
So, I mean, obviously over the years you've walked around campus a lot. Have you ever considered tracking how much you've walked, or have you seen that it has given you any kind of health benefits, anything like that?
It's actually really funny you mentioned that, because there was a time where it did actually have some health benefits, I'm not going to lie. When I came to this university, I was around 220 pounds, and I'm a short guy, I'm probably like 4. And so, yeah, I was pretty heavy at that time, and when I started carrying the boombox, like, for the first 4 years, I lost 50 pounds. And then, beyond that, I ended up losing, you know, more pounds and stuff like that, and I had considered coming up with, like, a boombox guy, like, workout routine, because you're effectively carrying a 30-pound box on your shoulder and walking, usually bare minimum, 2 miles anywhere you go. So it's definitely a lot of cardio and strength training all at once.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you feel that the greatest personal gain that you've gotten from this whole experience has been?
Honestly, I mean, I can go into detail about, you know, I've made money off of the PhD stuff and everything like that, and it's created like network opportunities for it, and that's all really wonderful. One thing I always tried not to do was try to make a personal gain off the Boombox Guy. That's why I never made any merchandise or like sold shirts or anything like that. Because I felt like if I did that and I took sponsorship, that's taking away from it. So I can't really say it's that. But the biggest thing, going back to that thought, was the networking, the people, everyone that I met. I've had so many opportunities show up to me just because I've been kind of this loud and some people consider obnoxious person. And but at the same time, some people really, really enjoyed it and they love what I've done. And so they're willing to like help me out or like say, hey, I know of this person that's like looking to do this kind of research or something like that. So it's helped in like my business life. It's helped in personal life. I've met so many amazing people, and great friends that I'm never going to like leave them or anything like that. That's so good. But honestly, it's kind of that personal gain, like meeting all these like people.
So do you know where you plan on going when you graduate? Do you know what the next step is going to be?
I have a couple of things in work right now, which some of them may involve me like moving away from Columbia, which I'll just have to deal with that because it will be the next chapter of my life. However, there are some opportunities that have started to crop up that would keep me around here. And it's different professorship jobs like here and there because honestly, I want to teach. I also like doing research and that such. So if I can find that good balance around here, you know, I'd be set.
So when you graduate, will it be the end of an era? Are you going to take the character with you, or are you going to hand it down to another student?
It's really funny you ask me that, because every year since like 2007, when it always looked like I was about to leave, and I never did, I always get asked this question in interviews. And I'll be honest, during the times where it looked like I was going to leave, I was going to hand it off to different people. There was actually 3 different people that I trained to be either the next boombox guy, or there was a couple of boombox girls that wanted to try it out. And yeah, they did try it out here and there, but I think they didn't really understand what comes with it. Because while I was talking about all the good things and that comes with it, it's great. There's also some negative sides to it as well. And I don't think they were quite ready for that. And so I don't know if I'm going to train anyone or anything like that, because honestly, when Elliot went elsewhere and I had to become the sole boombox guy, he had his own style and technique and stuff like that that he did. And then I realized I had to make it my own. If I was going to be the next boombox guy, I had to do something different, and that's what I did. So if anyone does want to like take it on after I leave, or even while I'm still here, I really don't mind. Just the big thing I can give to them is like, make it your own. That's the trick.